Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, that's exactly where the Niners are this weekend, home. Which would suggest we should tell you about this. Laughing Monk Brewing, Sunningvale. If you haven't been there, well, you're just an idiot. Sorry.
Freaking idiot.
I mean, it's really good food. It's really good drink. It's fun. It's right next to the stadium. What are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing?
Like, if you're going to pregame, then you go there.
And
duh.
By the way, we're coming to you from the Laughing Monk Studios. Hello?
Yeah.
So.
And I'm pregaming right now.
Perfect.
You play to win the game.
Are you drunk?
I'm about to be.
Okay.
I'm drunk with winning.
That's true.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dibs, half in the bag.
Sounds a lot like me.
Great. Let's drink. Possibly three quarters in the bag. I was actually concerned with the drinks that I had last night.
Two drink minimum.
Yep. And we had a pre-drink also.
Okay.
And something, either your boy's tolerance is on the move, or somebody was giving me a casino drink last night.
Flipped you a Mickey.
Yeah, just nothing. There was nothing. And St. Christy, too. Like, we were like, nobody's feeling anything. You put alcohol in these?
Oh, the other way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Any alcohol in here?
Yeah.
Like, side of alcohol, please?
Yeah.
So I can put it in my drink?
A little watered down, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. But anyway, we had a great time. So, back to Laughing Monk. Sunday. What a great place to watch Lowe and E-Dog do the show, 10 a.m. But the food, the drinks, the 10 a.m. games are all going to be there. Games out in the parking lot for you to play. And then, obviously, the free shuttle to and from the stadium. First one sold out. Bus number 2, courtesy of Laughing Monk, is now here. And that's filling up quick. So don't wait. Go to 957thegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up. See you there. Okay. This is a big freaking weekend. It's a big deal now.
Always.
I'm not just talking about the Niner game.
Right, okay.
And in fact, Plaxico Burress will be on in 10 minutes, but a little bit later on in the hour, I think we should dive into a few different angles to the weekend, and maybe we use Bob Myers to help us a little bit. He gave Steiny a call today. It's his birthday.
So great.
Right. You know what I mean? Although the station probably did itself a disservice today. Because they made a big deal about his 60th. And then they made a big deal about my 50th. And now everybody's calling in for his 61st. So I'm like, you do realize that now you just need to make a big deal anytime any of the six of us has a birthday.
Yay!
So, like, easy. That's a big assignment. There's six of us, and we all have one every year. And if the number doesn't matter... Well, you better just start booking amazing people to call in on birthdays like every month. I don't know. I was a little surprised today.
Yeah, and I thought that they kind of missed out on playing on the 61 number. You could have like...
Roger Maris?
No.
Not available.
Pat Spencer.
Oh?
He wears 61. And I was just doing
the team.
I mean, anymore, right?
Anymore.
And I was doing a little Googleage on who wore 61 and, you know, you could... A lot of offensive linemen. You know who the Niner was who wore 61?
Ooh, you know me.
Jesse Sapolu.
Oh, did he? He did?
He did. Okay. So you could have gone with Jesse, Pat Spencer, but anyway. Not that important. But you're right. Like, my 57th just came and went. I showed up, and we did a higher or lower, and I went home.
Well, we did try. We tried to get Steve Javy to call in, And he did respond the next day.
Pretty cool.
And he was like, I'm so sorry that I missed this. And we're like, you're not as sorry as we are.
Yeah.
That would have been incredible.
Could have got me a Gene Steratore, you know, maybe a CB Buckner, or, you know, get one from every sport. Yeah.
How hard did you work on that, Lucas? Like, how many referees and umpires did you call? For those of you who don't know who Steve Javy is a former NBA ref who's now doing the TV thing. How many did you call?
I mean, I worked hard. I wouldn't say I worked really hard.
Okay.
Right.
That's funny.
And I think those, I got to like five.
And for those who also don't know, I love officials, umpires, and referees.
Oh, everybody knows this.
Almost as much as I love Trevor Lawrence. So there you go.
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna leave that one to
hate referee yeah. Dibs.
I'm gonna leave that one to Mongo. Okay.
Mongo.
But anyway, big deal this weekend because yeah, there's a Niner game and Brock Purdy returns. I think some people are not all eyes, but there's an eye on the Giants. Be like, the manager's still gonna be the manager on Sunday night? So there's that. And then obviously, Warrior Media Day is Monday. Who's coming? And they don't mean the media. Hey, Warriors, who's invited to your media day?
Wow.
Is Jonathan Kuminga invited? Is Al Horford invited? Does Steph Curry bring his brother? I mean, we got questions. And so in theory, I think there's an indication that even though the deadline is not until next Wednesday for qualifying offer stuff, somebody's going to want some finality to this whole deal by the time we go to bed Sunday night. So we get a big weekend.
Big weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Bob Melvin piece of it, and I wonder what you think about this, Mark. Like, do these last three games matter in terms of whether or not he stays or goes?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Because 78 and 84 is different than 81 and 81, just in the eye test part.
It is, but I don't know if it does. I don't know if it is in terms of what, like, why would you, in theory, your question is asking me, would the Giants be sitting here right now and Buster Posey's like, I don't know what I want to do.
Let's see how the weekend
goes.
Let's
see how you play against the Rockies with backup pitchers. Like, why would you decide Bob Melvin's status on that? I think that a decision has already been made. I don't know what it is. And in theory, we should probably find out on Sunday.
What would your predictions be of the three? Melvin status, Kuminga contract, and Niners v. Jacksonville?
That's a fun question. I think the 49ers will defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
Another stressful game. I think that Bob Melvin is going to be back. And I think that Jonathan Kuminga is going to accept the 2+1, 3-year, $75 million offer and be on the Warriors and prepare himself for a February trade.
Team option.
Team option.
So he will yield, they won't yield.
I think that they feel they have already yielded by adding another year. Remember, the initial offer was a 1+1, and now it's a 2+1. I think that they feel that way. I think that Warrior fans should know this. This is not my opinion. This is a fact that around the league, around the NBA, there are a lot of surprised people that there is this much of a hullabaloo about Jonathan Kuminga, a bench player. I know that that's fighting words. But that's what he is. That's what he has been. That's what the Warriors see him as. I think it's what a lot of the league sees him as. I know some would say, wait a minute, the Suns want him to start. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But what he has been to this point, there's a lot of surprise that he is the lead story on ESPN and Shams every single night for like 3 months. Like, there's a lot of people that are like, this isn't Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, but what else is out there right now?
Oh, but fair, but they're all like Quentin Grimes, and nobody even know, like, no one's saying a word. Part of it is because it's the Warriors. Very big brand. Very big brand. I get that. Part of it is the team, not the player. So, but there's a lot of surprise about that.
Okay. Interesting.
How would you answer that question?
I think Melvin will be back. I think that Kuminga, I think when we get to Monday, I think that it is still unresolved.
Don't do the Niner one. You shouldn't answer that.
I won't.
That we're going to say
the
that.
The pick is in.
The pick is in, but don't reveal it.
Yes, I do think that Bob Melvin will stay, and it will be unpopular in some circles. I think that you extend him in May, knowing that you're going to give him another chance. And he may not last past the deadline or past the All-Star break next year if things aren't good, but I do think that he gets to at least start next year with Devers and Adames and whatever else they have around him. And I think that the Kuminga thing, I think that it gets resolved, but I think that he signs the qualifying offer.
Qualifying offer.
I think that he and his agent are so dug in, and he is dead set on being out of here ASAP, that I think that he just decides to sign the QO.
I mean, in theory, by the way, QO is not ASAP. ASAP would be sign and trade me in February. That's the quickest way out.
Yes.
But you are giving some trust.
And you're giving away your control of where you go.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he absolutely might really want to be a Laker.
Right.
And they're not trading him to the Lakers for 7.9.
Yeah, but the Lakers have any cap space next year?
Example. That was just kind of a one-off example.
Yeah. Armando in San Leandro. Hi, Armando. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen, good afternoon. Two things real quick. Number one, my daughter's getting married tomorrow.
Let's go.
All right.
Armando, come on. Wow, how much did that cost you? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. That's Xperia. I know.
How's the son-in-law? Son-in-law's a good guy, I hope.
My future son-in-law, Robert, he's a very nice man, a very good guy, yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes. Yes, thank you so much. And number two, let's go with the hot hand. Let's keep Mac Jones going, and let's rest a little bit more on Brock Purdy, and let's go with the hot hand. Let's keep going, Mac Jones. Let's go, baby.
Okay. I mean, why would you – like, Brock Purdy won his game too. Do you know what I mean? Like, is your thought because you want Brock for Thursday, or do you want to ride Mac until he loses?
You called it. Let's take Mac on Sunday and Brock for Thursday. Correct. Yes, okay. Exactly.
Okay. Hey, Armando, have a great time tomorrow,
man.
Enjoy,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Soak that in. That's awesome. Armando and San Leandro, congratulations to the whole family. I got the sense that Brock is even healthier than Mac, right? Like right now.
Well, the injury report would tell you that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, save Brock for Thursday. You know, like Brock is even healthier than Mac. So anyway, we can keep talking that out. And Plaxico Burress makes his debut on our show coming up next. We're sponsored by Moderna. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
I want to give you guys an exclamation of my appreciation of listening to Dibbs' agitation meditations about Butler's association compensation expectation and Miami's expiration.
Cha-ching! On 95.7 The Game.
You know, speaking of appreciation.
Yeah.
Did you see or hear any of the stuff last night from Sam Darnold pointed at Brock Purdy?
I saw it, yeah.
You see any of that?
Pretty awesome.
Did y'all hear any of this? It was the press conference before the game or after the game from Sam? Before or after the game from Sam?
So on the broadcast, Kirk and Al are talking about their sit-down with him leading up to the game.
Okay, but then the Darnold part is...
That's from when he signed with the Seahawks in March.
Ah, okay. So, he was talking about it months ago, and then he's still talking about it in production meetings with Kirk and Al, and then Al and Kirk were talking about it on the broadcast last night, or on the stream.
Right.
Sorry, it wasn't a broadcast, actually.
Yeah.
It was a stream.
It's more of a narrow cast when you're dealing with just people who have Amazon Prime.
Yeah. We're trying to connect with Plaxico Burress, and hopefully we'll do that here shortly. Joining us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Check it out. So this is Darnold back in March when he signs with the Seahawks.
I really, thank Brock a ton, Brock Purdy, for, just his style of play and how he kind of described his style. Is like, we got a ton of great playmakers on offense. Like, my job is just to play point guard and get the ball in their hands and let them go do great things with the rock. And when I started to change my thought process as a quarterback to kind of just getting the ball in my guys' hands, then that really, that's kind of where it unlocked for me a little bit.
So that was from the intro presser.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So that's one thing. It kind of gets lost in the whole offseason haze and whatnot. Now Sam Darnold is 3-1 with a new team. And for me, as far as Darnold is concerned, by the way, I think this is really, really important because his career goes the way it goes, right? Jets, Carolina Panthers, and then he sits with the Niners for a year. Then you go to Minnesota and you have this amazing year. It really ended with a dud. Like, I mean, amazing regular season, but then down the stretch, it kind of got wobbly, and in the playoffs, it was a dud. But like, similar to what happens to Purdy with Kyle Shanahan, a lot of people are like, well, Darnold got with O'Connell. And for me, if I'm Seattle, this is what would give me pause, which is, was Darnold, is he really capable, or was he just in O'Connell's system and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and all of that? Because to bring him to Seattle, you got a defensive head coach, you get rid of a good portion, two-thirds of your receiving core, and it's like, okay, how's this going to go? Well, this is huge for Sam. They're 3-1, and he's playing pretty good football. So check this out. This is from Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. First, this is Kirk, Thursday Night Football, Amazon Prime, talking about Darnold and Purdy.
Where this guy was in his career in New York and Carolina, when, for all intents and purposes, I think a lot of folks in the league looked at him as basically damaged goods. He's done. He talked this week with Al and I and Kaylee about how his stop in San Francisco, we were like, of course, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, the younger quarterback, he points to as a guy that's really helped him turn his career around.
That's fascinating. I love that Kirk points out, like, yeah, this. I mean, Darnold should have showed up to the Niners. He's the elder statesman. But it was something that Brock Purdy talked to him about, sort of likening themselves to point guards that, I don't know. I mean, Sam credits it for changing everything about the way he quarterbacks.
Yeah. And everybody develops differently and at different times. And I do think, and this goes back to yesterday's Trevor Lawrence, debate, wasn't much of an argument, but you and I see things differently. I do think that being in a stable situation for a period of time is very helpful and very conducive. And also, I think that every quarterback can develop at his own pace. And I think about Josh Allen, his first year in Buffalo, Josh Allen was incredibly inaccurate. Josh Allen was not very good as a rookie. And many people thought, oh God, he's never going to be good enough, right, or accurate enough, blah, blah, blah. And Sam Darnold, you look at his career with the Jets, he was below 60%. 2 years in Carolina, below 60% completion. Minnesota, 66. And now this year he's at 70. So maybe he learned what he needed to learn in Minnesota, and he learned it here in San Francisco first. And the main thing is, like, find out who's open and get him the ball. And that's the one thing I think about with Trevor Lawrence, is a lot of times he will hold it, and try to make the big play. And Brock Purdy, what he does so well is he reads it, he sees it, and he delivers it. And that ultimately is 90% of quarterbacking.
Al got into the conversation with Kirk as it continued here on Amazon Prime.
We're always talking to the quarterbacks. Hey, who's the most influential? It's always some older coach,
Josh,
for the most
McCown,
part.
You go back
to Mike Shanahan, you go back to a lot of people, and then all of a sudden, Brock Purdy.
And he said he helped me learn what it takes in paying attention to detail in preparation. And then he goes to KO in Minnesota, and we know what happened. We talked earlier about that, and I think he's just resurrected. He's confident.
Well, I just wonder. I mean, to me, there, in a way, this is a conversation that in the world of sports radio, sports media, and fandom, this comes up all the time. There's what we see, and then there's what we don't see. A short time ago, you were talking about the Bob Melvin situation with the Giants. I think that this is key here. There's what we see. Oh, you lost too many games. Fire the manager. He should yell at people. You don't know that he doesn't. So there's what we see, and then what we don't see. And my belief, and I know a lot of people pass this off as teammate speak, because teammates are always going to say really nice things about each other. But if you even go to the stories of what was being said behind our backs about Brock Purdy, Trent Williams and Fred Warner have talked a lot about this through his career. Kyle Shanahan's conversation with Jed York when they got done with camp the year that Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy were all there. Nobody had played a game yet, so we can't tag 1-0, 2-0, 6-11, completion percentage. There's nothing. It's just three players who went through camp. And then all of a sudden, you got the coach, you got the Hall of Fame left tackle, you got the Hall of Fame linebacker, and they're all looking at each other going, dude, the little guy is the best one. He's the best one here. And all of them shared that opinion unequivocally. Yet, we see what we see. And so we come out with the whole, like, well, if it's Kyle Shanahan or Kevin O'Connell or whatever, and good teammates surrounding him, that's what stirs the drink. It absolutely is a factor. It's a piece of the puzzle. I just feel like we get inundated from the league, people playing in the league, people who have played in the league, saying this is what you have in Brock Purdy. And a lot of us out here in what we see land, we don't want to buy it. We just don't want to buy it. We don't want to buy that there's something that is a little bit elevated or special about the guy.
It's partly because what you talk about, draftism, and he couldn't possibly be this good because of where he was drafted. And if you look at the things that you're talking about, and even like the scouting report for him coming out, the guy played, 60 starts at Iowa State before he even got into the NFL. And I do think that that is a big factor into a development of a quarterback. And I always think about Mitchell Trubisky, who played 1 year at North Carolina. He started about 13 games and he came in and he wasn't ready. He didn't have the experience and he's never been able to land on his feet. Subsequent to that, Sam Darnold's another interesting case because he played high level at USC and he started for 2, if not 3 years. And then he came in and he struggled on bad teams, went to another bad team and struggled. And many people wrote him off. And then he was able to land here, get a year of tutelage under Brock Purdy, apparently, go to Minnesota, ball out, get a huge contract, and now they're 3-1. And he's not out there lighting it up in Seattle. He's averaging about 220 yards a game.
But he's solid.
He's solid, and he's managing games.
He's playing well.
He's playing well enough for them to win 3 of 4, and they were damn close to beating the 49ers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought even the game against the Niners, there was nothing overly impressive about, quite frankly, neither quarterback out there would you walk out of the game and be like, whoo, they lit it up. I mean, Purdy got picked twice. Nobody got to 20 points. Darnold fumbled to end the game. All of these things happened. But when I'm watching both of them play, sometimes it's just a vibe. And that's kind of what I would point to again with what I hear a lot of people say. I was glad Armando said, no, let's like, okay, he thinks Mac is a hot hand. I don't know if I would necessarily refer to any of it this way. The Niners have won all three games in kind of the same sort of a way. You go out there, there are some mistakes, you hang in there, you made big plays late, you win the football game. Not overly impressive offense, not in any of the three. But if you want to call Mac Jones the hot hand, okay. But he stopped short of doing what I've heard a lot of people say, which the Niners would never do, which is play Mac until he loses. You would never, ever, ever do that. I mean, think of the implications that are going on there. Number one, I don't know. What if he wins 10 in a row? Is he your starting quarterback now?
Right.
Prior to Brock Purdy even starting his $53 million per year contract? I mean, I know people will be like, hey, if you're winning, you're winning. Like, why would you even do that?
Well, you'd do it if you thought you had a Kaepernick-Alex Smith situation.
Maybe.
Which you know,
they don't.
Right, and those two were probably close enough in Harbaugh's mind that once he got the opportunity, or he was forced to have the chance to play Kaepernick, he did, and Kaepernick gave them a completely different dimension, and Harbaugh loved that. And so you went with him, you stuck with him, and you went all the way to the Super Bowl. This is not that. This is Mac, who is number two in the league, by the way, in yards per game, passing right now, which is really good, and He's had two great games. It doesn't mean that he's going to go out there and win every week, and Brock Purdy is still your quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, if you want to accuse, this is one of those situations where it's like, well, wait a minute, is this about politics? And to a certain degree, the answer is yes, absolutely. Like, the Niners have made their decision. It's the same reason, go back, in fact, to the training camp I just referenced, when Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Brock Purdy are all there. Kyle Shanahan pulls Jed York aside and goes, Brock Purdy definitely is the best of the three. Well, why didn't you start him? Why didn't you start him? You've put major, major draft resources right into Trey Lance. So you're going to start Trey Lance. Well, same thing here, which is they have put major, 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 major resources now into Brock Purdy. So that's what they're picking. That's the way they're going to go. And they don't have any evidence otherwise. They don't have any evidence to not do that. Like, if Mac's the hot hand, well, I don't know. Was Brock the hot hand? He won his game too. He drove his team trailing down the field and won a football game also. So I don't know, man. Like, so far, quite frankly, all three of the games have looked very, very similar.
Yeah, and I do also think that, especially when it comes to Brock Purdy and his rookie year, there's a lot to be said about, you know, giving a rookie more of a runway to learn and to adapt. So even when Shanahan tells Jed York in camp, yeah, Brock Purdy's our best quarterback, well, you're not going to start him right now, not only because you're invested in Trey Lance, but also because he's not ready. He probably wasn't ready in September or October. If Brock Purdy was really ready to be the best quarterback in that moment, he would have started in game three against the Denver Broncos. And you remember that game. Jimmy saunters out of the back of the end zone, and you lose 11-10.
Exactly.
If Brock was ready on that day, which was 3 years ago yesterday, that game where Jimmy starts, Trey was hurt, if Brock was ready, you would have started Brock because you thought Brock was better, but he wasn't ready at that point.
Or there's a lot of politics involved to it.
I don't think there was politics with Jimmy G and
maybe,
Brock, though.
Maybe.
Personally.
888-957-9570. We'll get back to your calls, but joining us right now on the River Islands guest line is none other than receiving great Plaxico Burress, also with Fox Sports Radio as well. Plaxico, it's great to have you on the show here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Thank you for doing it.
Man, all good, man. I thank you guys for having me on, man. And let it not be known that we are still prevalent out there with you guys. Draymond Green, Michigan State, that is my brother. Let's go.
Ooh. Let's go.
Okay, now that you Spartans did that, I'm going to just tell everybody, maybe we get a Dubs question in at the back end of this. Because of that. So I love that, Plaxico. But we do want to talk about the Niners, their receiving situation, everything that's going into it right now. First and foremost, Ricky Pearsall has really, really popped so far this season. Wonder if you've taken a look at him yet, what your thoughts are there.
I have, man. I think he's a great young talent out of the University of Florida. You know, obviously, Debo has moved on. Trying to get Brandon Ayuk healthy and CMC, but I really do think that Pearsall, if he can be one of those guys that Kyle Shanahan can lean on to lead this passing game moving forward with the development of Brock Purdy, I think it's going to be very good.
What's the biggest challenge for a young receiver when you have to step up and become the one?
Man, it's tough. It really is. It's not as easy as everybody think it is, man. The speed of the game, digesting the offense, being able to compartmentalize every aspect of what position they're going to play. Because when I came in the game, man, I was X. Hines Ward was a Z. And obviously Jerome Bettis played running back. But now the game is so complex to where you have to learn every position. And I think that's one of the things that is, really hurting a lot of receivers moving on, getting into the next level. But I think Ricky is going to be a really good receiver moving forward. But if you really want to be versatile, they have this saying, the law of the niche, the more you can do, the more value you have. So you really have to learn the wide receiver position from every spot on the field.
Plaxico Burress is with us here on Willard and Dibs. Plax, I want to ask you, you mentioned Brandon Ayuk's name, and I'm kind of projecting forward and wondering how this is going to go. The Niners do like Ricky Pearsall. Juwan Jennings has established himself as a piece of the puzzle here, and they just got DeMarcus Robinson back off of suspension, and he had a great camp. Meantime, they announced today that Brandon is not close, but he's making 30 mil. Plax, like, how does this whole thing fit in when Brandon gets back?
Man, it's a different day and age. So, obviously, Brandon's getting paid with the number that you just said, and obviously Ricky is doing a great job, and Juwan Jennings. So, you have to be able to continue to get better offensively, because I will believe that everybody in the Bay Area wants to continue to see Brock Purdy elevate and get better as a quarterback, and he's going to need all of those guys on his side if he wants to continue to be better as a quarterback, Kyle Shanahan included. I played against John Lynch several years, so I understand his defensive concept. But if you want to win in this league, you have to have a defense. Obviously, with Bosa going down, that hurts them. But from a offensive standpoint, you got to try to keep your guys healthy as you possibly can. And, you know, Brock Purdy, he's going to continue to elevate as a lead wide receiver. But he's going to need those guys to be healthy if he wants to be considered to be a great quarterback.
And they're trying to keep everyone healthy, obviously, and Christian McCaffrey may be chief among them. I'm thinking about Tiki Barber on your team, and I'm looking here. He had 411 touches 1 year. Was there any talk in the locker room among the team about maybe trying to bubble wrap Tiki or maybe not giving him that many touches? Because that's what we hear out here in San Francisco.
Not at all. Because, I mean, obviously, you guys have a great talent in Kittles. I had a great tight end in Jeremy Shockey. I had a great wide receiver inside of me and Amani Toomer, obviously myself. And San Francisco has the same thing. But you guys are playing in a very tough division. So to move forward, Kyle Shanahan trying to get to a divisional champion, conference champion, and get back to the Super Bowl, it's going to be a little tough for you guys. I'm not even going to front. But for Brock Purdy's maturation, he is going to have everybody healthy for the San Francisco 49ers to get back to a championship game.
Plaxico Burress is with us. And Plax, since you bring up Purdy, I mean, let's dive in. The guy is such, and it's a head scratcher, but he's such a lightning rod. Nobody would suggest that coaching doesn't matter. It does. The good teammates, of course, and good teammates around you, it also matters. However, it leads us down the road where certain quarterbacks get labeled as, well, the only reason you're succeeding is because what's going on around you. Do you buy that? What's your view on Brock and the success he's had?
I do. Man, listen, I've had the phenomenal opportunity of playing beside two great Hall of Fame quarterbacks. One in Ben Roethlisberger and one in Eli Manning. And I know what it takes from a quarterbacking standpoint to be elite and to be great. And I was instrumented into both of those guys from a player standpoint, trying to help the organization and them to be great. And for Brock moving forward, I think that some of the absences, I'm just being honest, some of the absences that he has had, I believe that some of the deficiencies of him being a quarterback are going to show up. And it's normal. And Debo being in Washington, obviously Brandon Ayuk not being there, and Bosa being out, it's going to be a struggle for those guys in the NFC West. I get it, and I understand. But for him, he's going to have to continue to study and be better. You look at some of these great and good quarterbacks that are moving forward without the elite receivers. I believe that Justin Herbert is on that path. I believe that Jordan Love is on that path. And he's going to be one of those guys to not have elite receivers, but you still have to find a way to be an elite quarterback.
And what are those attributes that make you an elite quarterback just on your own? If you don't have the talent around you, what does Brock Purdy need to have to still be elite without those guys?
Study, study, study. Hmm. They have to be so immersed in the playbook, and they have to learn it. It's like it's breathing. It has to become second nature to them to have everybody on the same page and to have a rapport with the wide receivers and the tight ends and the whole entire offense around him. He has to breathe it, live it, see it, and perform. I've been around it. And he's going to have to go through a transformation process as a quarterback to develop and really understand the whole concept of the offense and make those guys in the huddle believe what he's saying.
Plaxico Burress is with us. Plax, let's talk about the Niner opponent quarterback this week. What's your take on Trevor Lawrence? Has he had a difficult landing spot with a lot of different coaches, or has he just been a disappointment?
I won't say he's been a disappointment. I mean, obviously, the contract weighs on a lot of guys. I haven't really had an opportunity to really delve into his performance as far as a contractual standpoint, but I guess they have Travis Henry now, but I think from Jacksonville, for him, he's going into what, his fifth year, I believe?
Yep.
He's going into his fifth year. And there has to be some kind of transformation. Are you getting better or are you getting worse? And I think that's one of the decisions that the Jacksonville organization is going to have to make moving forward, but he already has the contract. So they're stuck with him. So now, how can we put these pieces of the puzzle together to get him back to what the player that they drafted from college? We don't know what that is. Nobody does until this point. But I hope that for himself in the organization, that they can put some pieces around him to develop the kind of quarterback that they drafted.
And how much of that is not only the players around him, but also the system? And you had me thinking about Eli Manning and his kind of up and down career until things got really good. What was it like for Eli in the time you were there?
Well, first of all, Eli didn't get good until I got there. I mean, let's not make no mistake about it. And he got good when I get there, and I laugh when I say it. And it happens. And I came from a great organization in the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, losing two AFC championship games in 4 years to Tom Brady and New England, watching them walk off into the Super Bowl. They came in to beat us at home. To go to the Super Bowl and just, get to New York and watching him grow. And he became one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And myself, Jeremy Tiki, and David Dill moving from left guard to left tackle, which made a significant difference. And then we bought him McKenzie. At right tackle, and Tiki had one of the best prolific seasons in NFL history. But if you look at it, you just hope that Trevor Lawrence and that organization can get to where to the player that they drafted.
Plax, I want to know how being a Super Bowl champion changed your life, and I ask it through this sort of lens. Niner fans, we got a whole generation of them, even though the history of the organization is great, that have never seen it happen, because it hasn't happened now for over 30 years. You watched Eli Manning go from what you just said, kind of a debatable quarterback, to suddenly a Super Bowl champion. And that's what I think a lot of Niner fans want to see happen for Brock Purdy. How does that change the way people look at you?
I want to say how it changed the way they look at you. Eli was, he's highly intelligent. I don't want to get it misconstrued. We joke around and we laugh a lot. But when he got in the huddle and he was under center under shotgun, he's highly intelligent of the game. He knew exactly what was going on around him, defensive-wise, front-wise, and he needed to make a hot read or whatever the case may be. And he has some good players around him. But I would never take away his intelligence to play the game of football. With that being said, he's a two-time world champion. And people come to me every day and ask me, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? I say, how can he not be? He was brilliant in the times that mattered. And how was it different from being a Super Bowl champion to just a guy playing in 13 years? It's just like John Elway said when he won his first one. I couldn't imagine living without it. And that's what it's all about. The Hall of Fame and all of the accolades, I get it. I understand. But until you feel that confetti fall and can say you are a world champion, my guy did it twice.
Yeah, and one time with you, and you got a touchdown in that game, and I was just looking at the box score plaques, 9 targets, 2 catches. Could he not find you in that game? What was going on with Eli?
Man, hey, man, listen. After the NFC Championship game, after I set the record for 11 catches and 154 yards, Bill Belichick was not just going to just single cover me and let me run up and down the football field, because I had played him twice in the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh. So we had a pretty good understanding of how you want to cover me. Hey, do you know how many times they single covered me during that game?
Probably never.
None.
It was the first third down. I made the first catch of the game on third down, and I made the last catch. And I run into Rodney Harrison all the time, and he shakes his head when he sees me. You know what he said? He wanted to check out of the defense because it was blitz cover zero. And the late, great Junior Seau looked back at Rodney, which Rodney told me, he was like, I can't change the coverage. And the rest is history.
Wow.
That's so great.
Some great names right there.
So great. Hey, Plax, this has been awesome. Before you go, let's talk about your boy Draymond Green. Are the Warriors too old to compete at a high level?
Man, listen, if you're a Sparty on, Draymond is a Saginaw straggler, all right? He's never too old to win a championship. That's my brother, man. I love him to death. They are never too old to compete and win a championship because they have one of the greatest basketball players in all time, the greatest shooters of all time, Steph Curry. So they always have an opportunity. Always have an opportunity. And I'm going to get out there to watch my boy play. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Golden State Warriors always have a chance. as long as you have Steph Curry and the Saginaw Straggler on your team.
Okay, there
the
it is.
Saginaw Straggler.
There it is.
That's
Cut
great.
That. That's awesome. Hey, Plax, thanks for making the time, man. We really appreciate it. That was fun.
All right, man. Be good. Peace.
Okay, Plaxico Burress right here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game.
Pretty awesome.
Saginaw Straggler.
I love to ask these former athletes about big games and big moments because you get stories like that.
Totally.
With Rodney Harrison and the late Junior Seau talking about how they wanted to get out of that cover zero. And
cover zero.
I just was looking at the box score because I'll never forget where I was watching that Super Bowl. The 10-6 Giants are going to beat the Patriots. No chance.
Who had never lost.
Correct. Yep. And, you know, the Giants were kind of an uneven team with an uneven season, and yet here they are. And Plax had 9 targets and 2 catches. One of them was for a touchdown, and they gutted that little thing out, 17-14.
Yeah, they sure did. That's funny. Cover zero. It made like a little Steve Wilkes lightning bolt go down the back of my spine right. Whenever someone's like, uh-oh, cover zero. You're going to leave somebody 1-1 on an island. And in that case, it was Plaxico, and it won the Super Bowl. Rodney Harrison and Junior Seau look
so
at each other and say, too late. It's too late to get out of this defense. And it ended up being the play that lost the Super Bowl.
And it's interesting. I liked what you asked him about how the Super Bowl changed your life. And if you want to be honest about how it changed Eli Manning's life, he's not a Hall of Famer if they don't win those Super Bowls.
100%.
He is 11th all-time in interceptions thrown. And you know who's ahead of him? Vinny Testaverde. Vinny Testaverde is 4th all-time in picks thrown. And if you look at his career, he had a very Eli Manning-esque, long, prolific, voluminous, lot of stats career, but he couldn't get in the playoffs and win, but Eli had those 2 great runs.
And I have nothing against it, but we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I do think it's funny that there is just this, it's like paint. There's this special paint, and it only gets lathered all over the player or the coach that wins a Super Bowl. And as soon as you have that paint on, we just see you differently. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Stein and Goo were talking about this earlier. And Steiny wants me and Goo to go on a reverse victory lap about Nick Sirianni. And I'm sitting there listening to him, and I'm going,
I heard that.
Well, why can't I say Nick did a great job last year, but the year before that, it went completely sideways. The Niners went out there, they pantsed Nick Sirianni, and they barely won another football game the rest of the way. They were 10-1. The Niners arrived in November, pantsed them, and they won one more football game and got embarrassed when they arrived in the playoffs and knocked out in one round. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, that apparently has just been like Men in Black, just clicky thingy, and it's gone. And everyone forgets that the type of year that would normally garner a lot of criticism, because a couple years later he wins the Super Bowl, and it's like, that's it. And I think it's silly if somebody would go, which coach would you want, Kyle Shanahan or Nick Sirianni? I think this is a crazy question. It's the easiest answer of all time. But a lot of people now think it's like almost even playing field. And the only reason is because Nick has won that last game and Kyle Shanahan, though he's been to it multiple times, has not. And if that's your measuring stick, great. You get to decide what your measuring stick is. I think it is such a much more layered answer or question than that.
Yeah.
So take Eli Manning, and it's like, does Philip Rivers suck? I mean, honestly, if you took those two quarterbacks' careers, if you want to dive into the numbers, if you watched them play, if you watched their games, there's no question who was a more dynamic player. But people will elevate Eli Manning ahead of Philip Rivers because he's got that paint on. And that's what Brock needs. That's what Kyle needs.
For sure.
That's what
and
they need.
I do think that you undersell what Sirianni's done. And
he did a good job. He's done
never
a good
missed
job.
The playoffs. This is year 5, and he's 4-for-4 with a Super Bowl. So we can all think what we think. It's Big Dom, and
no,
I got his back.
I don't think he's a bad coach. He's done a good job.
He's a great coach, and he's done a phenomenal job. If you look at other coaches who've been there for 4 or 5 years, and he's made the playoffs every year and won a Super Bowl. I personally don't like his style, and there's a lot that I don't like about his team, but you can't look at his resume so far through 4 years and 3 games and think anything other than he's been an unbelievable success. But you are right about the paint of the Super Bowl and what it does to you and for you.
Yeah.
And I always think about TD in Denver, Terrell Davis.
Yep.
He's a Hall of Famer because they won a Super Bowl. And because he was an NFL network analyst. And, you know, if he wasn't that, his career, he had four really good years, but that's about it. But he won a Super Bowl, and he has a catchy nickname and all the rest of it. So, yeah you're right about the paint of the Super Bowl, and that is really Eli Manning in a nutshell.
I just think there's a lot of great players and a lot of great coaches out there, and they don't have that paint. And for some reason, it leaves a lot of other things open for debate, even though if you really want to look at what they're all doing, they're doing a very good job. Obviously, if you do have that paint on you, it also means you've done a very good job. I'm not taking anything away from anyone. I just sort of reject the idea that you have to have that paint on for all of us to accept you as consistent and strong and good and clearly effective at what you do. 888-957-9570. Larry in Hayward is on the line. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Hey, I just want to touch bases here where I hear a lot of people saying go with the hot hand. Well, he might have the hot hand, but if you look at him in practice, his knee is not 100%. And I don't think that he's going to be fit for the job. I'm glad that they're going back with Purdy. They're going with the right QB because he's probably about 90% versus Mac Jones probably only being about maybe 70% of that.
Larry, do you go out to practice?
No, but I've been, you know, I see it on the IG or the threads and things like that. And, you know, they show him hobbling around.
I mean, Larry, I can't argue with you. Thanks, Larry. I mean, again, as Dibs, as you said earlier, the injury designation would suggest that what Larry is saying is true. You know, you kind of had a hypothetical earlier in the day, which is like, what if both Mac and Brock are like, pick your percentage. They're both 80%.
Right.
You know, what would you do in a scenario like that? Because Mac is more expendable. So maybe you would go with Mac. But I don't think that this is the case. I think Brock is at a higher percentage. He has no injury designation, and Mac does. And Mac's injury happened a lot more recently. So Larry probably has a point.
Yeah, the hot hand is only pertinent if there's a quarterback controversy or if one of the guys is more injured. And the guy with the, quote, hot hand is the guy who's actually more injured right now. Like you said, he's more recently injured. So there really is no debate.
I also argue about who has the hot hand.
Well, he's won two in a row. And
No. There's only one person in this city who has the hot hand.
Is it Bob Melvin?
No.
Ha ha.
No. It's you.
But it's me?
It's you. You're 13-2.
Let's go, kid.
We are 53 minutes away. 53 minutes away. 450, the picks. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. John Avello of DraftKings in an hour. Wait till you hear what Bob Myers said when he called into Steiny and Goo earlier today. We got that for you next on Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.